Greetings, everyone. All those who are here, just want to say thank you for being here tonight. All those who are online, I just want to say thank you again for joining us. And perhaps we can just go ahead and pray to begin. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we just give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor today. Thank you, Lord God, for your answering our prayers in so many different ways. Thank you, Lord God, for showing us, leading and guiding, O Lord God, how to walk in truth and sound doctrine. I thank you, Lord God, that you would give us that strength, faith, and hope to continue on, Lord God, now, as the days grow dimmer and darker. Help us to grow in greater light, Lord God, that we would have greater faith, that we would shine, O Lord God, in a dark world as a light, for your glory and for your honor. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear your voice according to your perfect will. We pray under the blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise God. In China, they have their house churches, and oftentimes, even today, they will meet out in caves, orchards, cornfields, wherever they can find a place apart from the persecuting hand of their government. They found a way, and oftentimes what happens is they'll find a place, it might be 120 degrees in a building, in some barn, but they'll be there for 12 hours straight. In China, they think that 4 hours is a short sermon. Here in America, we think that's going overboard. How funny. And, people here in America don't understand what real persecution is. But in China, they understand perfectly. And many other parts of the world, I could name many countries out there that are undergoing the same kinds of persecution. But I say that, and I know that it's coming here to this country very soon, if not already. But yet, the Lord truly wants us to come up higher in Him. He wants us to put away all the things that hinder our walk with Him. The Lord wants us to put away all these things that would get in the way of truly being submitted and surrendered to the Lord. Because truly, I can tell you that true surrender is true worship before God. And I can't think of a song right now more appropriate than that we would come up higher in Him. And that song, Higher Ground, number 75 in the hymn book. Perhaps we could go there. Here it is. Bear with me. Okay. 75 in the hymn book, if we could go there. Amen. Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. greatness, I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Glory to God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Higher ground. Higher ground indeed, faithfully seeking God.
Praise your name, Jesus.
Amen.
No, thank you, God. Praise your Lord Jesus.
You know, there's a something that is very important, I think, that we should all remember too, is that we should continue to pray one for another and don't stop. I know that as Shirley and myself continue to pray Friday nights over here at the church for people that write in for their prayer requests. In fact, we've been praying, you know, whenever we just get around to it, we'll from at the church here, and I'm working, and Shirley's at the office, and something will come up, and we'll just stop, and we'll pray for somebody. However and whoever and whenever the occasion arises and whatever comes to our hearts. Amen. And I'm sure that the Lord would put people on your heart. And it's important that we understand the great value of prayer. Because with prayer comes power.
Praise the Lord.
Power to discern, power to fight the enemy. To wield that sword against the devil's tactics in your life. Against unbelief. Amen. How much unbelief is out there? It's everywhere. You know, the Lord said when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? How true is that? How little faith there really is. How close we are to the soon return of the Lord. As we see the tenacity of the devil's wicked plans covering the face of the earth, even as we speak, looking to threatening to taking out the grid, the power grid, very soon, and other areas of this country. Are people ready? Are people ready? And what will they do if they're not ready? Will there be widespread panic? More than likely there will be. Powerless and faithless because they haven't spent time in prayer before a living God. Prayer conditions the heart to receive what God wants you to know, that you might learn, grow, and thrive in tough times. All over the world, Christians are being persecuted. They understand that concept. Here in America, it's to our own shame and rebuke that we don't pray. Therefore, I would ask that you would go to me now and with me, number 8 in the chorus book. If you can go with me there, we'll sing that song that we typically sing after we pray for people on Friday nights. And let's just go there.
You. I'm not sure what I'm singing.
I don't think we've ever done it to the piano, have we?
To music.
You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray the Lord to carry me through. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray, and I'll pray too. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray the Lord to carry me through. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray, and I'll pray too. Praise God in heaven. Pray one for another while there's still time. Amen. Praise God. And I'm hoping that we can too now go to... well, there's a song here, number 25. That's been kind of on my heart also. And it's in the chorus book there, 25. Just a real small chorus. But in every way, very meaningful. It's called let go and let God have His way. In other words, what that means is to surrender. Surrender your will to God. Amen? Let's go there. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Well, praise God. We'll just go ahead now and take up real quickly here our tithes and offerings. And if anybody has a prayer request or a praise report or anything that they want to share, please feel free to raise your hand. Anybody online, likewise. Amen. I know that we're seeing answers to prayer all the time. Many people that are writing in, praising God for the reports that are the good reports that we hear all the time for as we pray and continue to pray for others. And it's a tough lesson in life to learn how to surrender. But when you bend your will to the will of God, that's where the key is, right there. Bend your will to His will, and all will be well. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank You for what You're doing now. We thank You for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. I pray that You will bless the giver abundantly, Lord God. Lead, God, and direct the service tonight. Thank You for helping us, though, Lord, to continue to be good stewards of what You give us. In Jesus' name, under the blood, we pray. Amen. Praise God. Okay, Shirley.
Praise You, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, Arnie. It's been a long time. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I know Jane brought some tracks over. We do have some new things. We had our very first Spanish track. We had some friends in Georgia do some translating for me, and praise the Lord, we also had it put in track format, and now we have it. It's in bright green. It's sitting over on the front pew, and there are some people here that need that track, that need that track. So it's actually available now, so praise the Lord for that. And then I know Jane also brought She prepared a portion from her dad's an old message from 1988, I think. It was an old newsletter, and it deals with fear and that element of fear and how to overcome it, that spirit of Pan, that panic attack that often attacks people. And we do hear from people that are bothered with that, and I think this could be a good help for that too. So that's available. I believe it's up here in that violet color. So praise the Lord. We have some new tools here that we can use for the kingdom of God's sake. Praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, that we can come before thy throne, Lord. We have this privilege, Lord, to come before you, Jesus. Lord, oh God, you've given us these moments. Oh Lord, while it is yet day, to serve you, God, and we have these opportunities, Lord. God, I just pray, oh God, that you would help us now, that you'd open up our hearts, that you'd move in our hearts, that you'd change us, Lord, that you'd motivate us. God, that you give us that zeal that we need for your kingdom's sake. God, that you give us that power with you, Lord. God, that you give us that ability with you, Lord. You know exactly what we have need of, Lord. Oh God, and I pray that you talk to our hearts, Lord, that you bind every contrary, hindering spirit, Lord, and anything that would try to get in the way here tonight of ministering to our hearts, Lord Jesus, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would be here, Lord, for we can do nothing without you, God. We need your enablement. We need your power. We need your strength, Lord. Oh God, we need to be motivated by the Holy Ghost, Lord. We need to be set free from everything that would hinder, Lord, and seek to destroy us, God. Oh Lord, we need you here tonight, and I just pray that you would work in our hearts. Change us, Lord. God, give us a zeal for thee, Lord. Give us a love for you, Lord. Oh God, fill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let our lamps be bright and burning at thy coming, Lord. Oh God, you're coming down this earth as a snare, Lord. So many are going to be lost. They're not going to be ready, God. They're not going to be watching. They're not waiting, God. Lord, help us, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Oh God, help us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, for without you we can do nothing. Oh God, we need you, Lord. Give us the words here tonight. Lord, speak through me, Lord, and help me, God, for certainly I need you, God. Oh Lord, without you, certainly nothing can be done. We thank you, Lord. Oh Lord, for you talk to our hearts. You change us, Lord. Oh God, you give us hope of eternal life, and we need you here. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. God is pretty amazing, I must say. He's pretty amazing to each and every one of us. And I think that's pretty neat. Brother Tim was talking about prayer. Because with the Lord's help tonight, I'm going to talk about the power of intercession. Praise the Lord. That great need that we have to intercede for individuals. And I just thank God for what he's been doing in lives and hearts. I've seen some good things happen lately. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Nothing happens easily. You don't gain ground without a fight. You're not going to grow in the Lord without growing pains, without trying hard for going for the mastery. And you know what? It's not going to be easy. If there's not a battle, then there's not going to be a gain either. And you've got to realize that if you're really living for the Lord, it's not an easy thing. There's a tug of war. There's two things going on. There's the flesh that wants to take it easy and just live normally. And then that's the Spirit of God that talks to our heart and helps us to want to get to that higher ground so we could be more like the Lord. And it's not, like I said, you don't climb up a mountain easily. You know, you could battle all kinds of things if you're literally fighting a mountain. And we are spiritually. We're fighting spiritual battles. And it's not going to come instantly. It's not going to come, like I say, without a fight. And we've got to know our God. And we've got to put our faith and trust in him. And we've got to be willing to go forward and fight the battles that he puts in front of us and not ignore them and gain that higher ground. Praise the Lord. Amen. And thank God he's given us tools. He's given us spiritual tools that we can use for his kingdom's sake to gain that ground. And one thing definitely is that power of intercession. that ability that we have to entreat the Lord, to come before him and bring others, to bring needs, that great and wonderful high priest, oh my, that came to earth to save us from our sins. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the second chapter here for a moment to begin. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, and just the first few verses here as we look at it. Here Paul is writing, and he's saying, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Okay, just reading that portion of Scripture, but here is an exhortation that we would make supplications, petitions before the Lord, prayers and intercessions on behalf of others, and of course the giving of thanks included here, being made for all men. And it says for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And I'll tell you what, we are living in those perilous times. See, you know, none of us know what tomorrow may hold. We could wake up tomorrow and there could be martial law. It could be entirely different. Everything could be stopped. Maybe the grid could be down. And some are surmising that perhaps that could happen in November. But, you know, I don't know. Only God knows. But you know what we have? We have some great gifts that the Lord has given us. And we can go before the Lord. And we can make our requests, our petitions, our supplications known before the Lord. And he could change things. Things don't have to stay the same. When we come before the Lord, he's an answering God. And he can change even the severest of situations. There's nothing too hard for God. He's a God of impossibilities. And when we come to him with all our heart, with our needs and with the cries of our heart, he can change those. He hears those cries that come from the heart. And he's able to change those things that are wrong. And, you know, I was thinking in connection with this, as it told us to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. And oh, we know the kind of people that are leading this country at this point. And my, they're not very nice. They're not a nice bunch by any means. Their plans are oh my, very evil. That's for sure. There's nothing good about what they're thinking at all. And even what they do doesn't even make any sense. But we could do so much through prayer, and I don't know what God may have held back already. Oh, maybe so much already through prayer. Just thinking of Hebrews 11 here. I was studying, and just as I was here, actually, thinking that there was just something yet I needed to say that I hadn't thought of yet. And Hebrews 11, it talks about all the victories that were won through faith. And let's just look at a little portion of scripture here. It tells us, oh, look at verse 32 here. And what shall I more say after all these lists of people have been mentioned here in this chapter? And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. And here, verse 33 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Oh, praise the Lord. This is what has done through faith. These were normal people, but they had faith in their heart. God put faith down deep inside, and they were able through that faith to subdue. That means to conquer kingdoms. Oh my, to righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, all of these things. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Oh my, I don't know, we could have Chinese walking up and down our streets in no time. I mean, it could happen. Aliens are foreigners. And you know, I don't know what could be, we could be up against, but we serve a mighty God, and these people were able to obtain great promises through the Lord because they had faith in a God who does not fail, who does not leave his people, who said he would be with us even until the end of the world. And praise the Lord, great things were done because they endured. It says in verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Of course, it tells of the other things that happened. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. There was a promise that they were yet attaining to, God having provided some better thing for us, that without us should not be made perfect. Oh my, what a plan the Lord has. And it all was put together. He put a second covenant together, because the first covenant was not perfect, and he made a way that we could come to God in faith and have our lives changed and obtain eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. God is so good. But let's talk about an intercessor here tonight as we get into our study here. And I'd like us to go to Exodus, the 32nd chapter here, and read of an event that happened. Sure as I'm standing here, it happened. The Bible is not a fairy tale. It's full of reality. Everything in this book is truth, and I thank God for it. But anyway, here we have quite an event here. We know the story of how Moses, God called him to go up to Mount Sinai, also called Mount Horeb too, and he was there for quite a while. 40 days and 40 nights. And it tells us in this chapter that the people, after a while, didn't quite know just what was going on. And it tells us in the first verse here in Exodus 32 that they gathered around Aaron. And all at once, their minds are far from God. They're asking Aaron, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." All at once, they didn't know what to think, it seems like, and they'd lost faith. They'd lost hope, and they were ready to do something else. They were ready to turn to other gods. And Aaron, who should have known better, went along with this. He went along with this, and they had taken all kinds of manner of things from the Egyptians, and including golden earrings, and he told them to break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And what trouble those earrings got them into. And it says, "And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron." And it's amazing. He took them. He received them at their hand, it says, and he fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made it a molten calf, he was doing something that was strictly forbidden. Strictly forbidden. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, I can hardly believe it. Not only did they make gods, and then they gave them power and esteem by saying, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, and after such a mighty deliverance out of the land of Egypt, I mean, God wrought all manners of miracles to bring them out of Egypt. And he opened up the Red Sea so that they could cross over on dry land, this big, huge multitude of people. But so soon they forgot. And that is human nature. That's one reason we need to continually be in God's Word, because we have that tendency, the propensity to forget. It just seems like we need continual reminders. But already, just after a very short time, these Israelites had forgotten who God was, or disregarded him, and already given credit to a molten calf. And here, verse 5 says, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And then they rose up in the morrow, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And then it says the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And this play was not nice at all. I'm sure it was entirely licentious and evil. And they had forgotten God, hadn't they? Just like that. But God knew. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, he knew, he could see them, he knew what was going on. He said, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods. Those altars, that altar rather, that Aaron built, was obviously for the graven image. And they had sacrificed unto that molten calf. And then they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 9, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. God had had it. And I believe he meant what he said here. He was upset. He was extremely angry, really, with this people, very disgusted. Oh my, you could hardly believe that they would turn away so quickly. And he was ready to consume them, to devour them. His anger, his wrath was waxing hot against them. And he was going to take Moses and make a great nation out of him. But Moses had an intercessor's heart. And it's amazing. Moses didn't quite realize, I believe, at this moment what exactly had happened. But he made intercession for the people. Tells us in verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? And then he said, wherefore shall the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy wrath. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. He asked God to remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord heard Moses. It says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. He began to disregard it because there was a man that made intercession for the people. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't pretty at all. And of course, we know as Moses began to come down to the mountain and saw what they were doing, he too, oh, he was so distressed when he saw them. And then at that point, his anger waxed hot, and God had written those precious tables of stone. They were written with the finger of God. Those tables of stone on the two sides of each table. And Moses, when he saw what the people were doing, how they had made a calf and they were dancing around it, he was so angry. He was so upset that he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And then verse 20 tells us he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Oh my, he was very upset now. They had done an evil, evil work. Unbelievable in such a short time. And God's wrath had been kindled, and now Moses's. Of course, then he turned to Aaron, and he said to Aaron, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron made excuses. He says, "Let not thy anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." So he tells a story. And, you know, God was very upset with Aaron too. Very, very upset. Aaron led the people in this. He could have said no. He could have refused to do this. He could have straightened them out. He had that authority. He had that right. He was in charge. Yet he didn't do it. And I can understand why God would be so upset with him. But we do learn in Deuteronomy that Moses also interceded for his brother Aaron. And God heard him. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing because, oh my, not only were the people worshiping around that golden calf, it says that they were naked. Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And then Moses stood in the gate of the camp in verse 26 and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Oh, it was a terrible time, and there had to be some avengement made here. That wrath had to be kindled, and God, who saw this, there were certain consequences that had to be made, and it does happen at this point that thank God for it, too, because otherwise perhaps they all would have been smitten at this moment. The Levites did go all through the camp, and they did slay those that were in this idolatrous, iniquitous position at this moment. And it says there fell on that day about 3,000 men. But the amazing thing is Moses' attitude. And of course he went back up, just talked to God, and there had to be another couple of tablets of stone made with the Ten Commandments and the laws of God on them. And so it would be another time period that Moses would spend with God. But here he is. Look at verse 30. "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Perhaps God will forgive you. Maybe there's something I can do to atone for your sin." And it tells us in verse 31, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Oh, I don't hardly know how to think. Moses, with such a spirit about him, he's asking God, Almighty God, to forgive their sin and rather blot him out of the book of life rather than to smite them and kill them. What a spirit this man had. He was a true intercessor. He's going before God to make intercession for them. Otherwise, they probably all would have been dead. But verse 33 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Oh, praise the Lord. And that's God's way. "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Let's also just look at Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter. And here again, Moses is retelling the story there. He's recapping the Israelite story just before the Lord took him and he died. And he's trying to tell them details that are important at this moment. And again, you see, he's reminded them how God has had mercy on them. He reminded them that it wasn't because of their goodness that God was going to bring them into the land of Canaan. It wasn't because they were such a righteous people. In fact, he said, "Thou art a stiff-necked people." But he said it was because of the wickedness of the heathens in the land of Canaan that God would have them consumed. That's why God would smite them. But it wasn't because of their goodness. He's emphasizing that. He wants the people to remember that. It's not because you've been such good boys that, you know, I'm going to have mercy on you. And then he goes on to tell them how in Horeb or Mount Sinai they had provoked the Lord to wrath. And he says in verse 8, "So that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you." And Moses reminds them, "When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the fingers, with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly." Then he tells the story how God told him to come on down because that people that had been redeemed from out of Egypt had corrupted themselves and turned away as quickly aside and made a molten image. And God was telling them, telling Moses. And now Moses is reminding them. In verse 14 he said, "Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they." And so here's Moses coming down from the mountain, seeing all of this. Verse 18 tells us, though, "And I fell down before the Lord, as at the first 40 days and 40 nights I did eat neither bread nor drink water, because of all your sins, which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also." And then verse 20 tells us, "And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time." Praise the Lord. That's the power of intercession. Moses was a type of Christ in this matter. He took things upon him that he needn't had to. God was going to take Moses and make a great nation out of him rather than the children of Israel for their sin and their iniquity, their disgusting ways. But Moses interceded for the people. And oh, so often they got him into trouble, or they were entirely rebellious, and what grief that must have caused. Moses continuously, he's telling them about Kadesh Barnea, just before they were to enter into the promised land. And remember, they sent the spies out, the 12 spies, one from every tribe. And only two came back with a good report. The rest were afraid of the giants that were in the land and were afraid to enter in, not having confidence in the Lord and his ability to keep them. And again, rebellion against the Lord.
But even at that time, even at the time of Kadesh Barnea, Moses also fell down and interceded for the people. Verse 26 says, I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thy inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land which thou brought us out of say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest out, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. Oh, praise the Lord. What a difference one man can make. What a tremendous difference. And there are other stories, of course, in God's Word that tell about how intercession was made. Often we talk about Abraham and the story of Lot. And of course, Genesis 18 bears that story. And just being quite brief here, just remembering how God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. But yet, before he was to do it, he was going to inform Abraham, his faithful servant, knowing that Abraham would surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth would be blessed in Abraham. And he was going to tell Abraham what he was going to do. And it's an amazing thing, because as God was telling him the story, and Abraham was standing before the Lord here in the 18th chapter of Genesis, it tells us in verse 23 that Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He knew that there was somebody in those cities that he loved, somebody that was dear to him, his nephew, Lot, and he cared. And he was just hoping that God would have mercy on him. And so he interceded before Almighty God, of course, asking if there would be 50 righteous people, that God would perhaps spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people. And then realizing, no, there are not 50 righteous people. Lord, if there be 45. And then on down, Lord, if there be 30. Lord, if there be 20. And then, Lord, if there would just be 10, would you spare the cities for 10? And God said he would. But as we know, there were no 10 righteous people in those cities. But yet, God could not, he would not destroy the city until Lot was taken out. God had mercy on Lot. That man, his righteous soul was vexed day by day with their filthy deeds, their way of living. It tells us there in 2 Peter. But God listens. God hears. God hears the cries of his people. And God not only heard Moses, but he heard Abraham. And as Abraham made intercession, God had mercy. Abraham was taken out. And it was a wonderful thing. It was a precious thing that God did. Let's go also to the New Testament. Let's go to the 12th chapter of Acts. And here we have another story of intercession and the power of intercession as it came forth, as the people cried out to the Lord. And here we have a time in the New Testament church when there was persecution. It had begun, and it does say in the scripture that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution is not a strange word to those that live in the Lord Jesus. It wasn't a strange word to the prophets. They all knew what that was all about. They were all mistreated and mishandled. Many of them died for the cause of God. Many, many of them. And of course, in the New Testament, the same thing happened. And here, Herod the king was stretching his forth to bring forth persecution in the early church here. It tells us that James, the brother of John, was killed with a sword. And then, because this made the Jews happy, then he also took Peter. And we're informed that this was the time of the Passover, the days of unleavened bread. He put him into prison. He was apprehended. He was put in prison. He was delivered to four quaternions of soldiers. And he was intending at the heathen time of Easter, which was Istar, and that was a heathen custom. It was a heathen spring festival at that time, and still is to this day. He was intending at that time to bring Peter out to the people, and I imagine he thought he would kill him at that point. And here's Peter. He's between four quaternions of soldiers. That means there were two soldiers there with him in the prison and two soldiers outside keeping guard. And at all the watches of during the night, they would change. There would be another set of four that would come and replace them. So there were four quaternions of soldiers guarding him. But there's an amazing thing happening here, a very life-changing thing. In verse 5 of this 12th chapter of Acts, it tells us, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh my, there were a people. They knew what was happening. They had noticed that James was killed with a sword. They knew what was about to happen with Peter, most likely. And of course, it most likely would never have stopped with just that. But it was in their heart to pray. And it says prayer was made without ceasing. In other words, they didn't stop. They had gathered together as a people, as one people gathering together in unity to pray. It says prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And here it was. It was that night that Herod was going to bring Peter out. And here's Peter. He's in prison. He's between those soldiers. He's in chains. He's bound. And he probably realized that they were going to kill him. But he's sleeping. He's sleeping. And a wonderful thing happens. The scripture begins to unfold here in verse 7. It tells us how the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And all at once, those chains fell off from his hands. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And the angel, as he was talking to Peter, told him to gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so Peter did so. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And you know, Peter's doing exactly what he's being told here. He's following that angel. But it tells us in verse 9, he wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. It was almost unbelievable. It was just a wonderful, fantastic story that the Lord was bringing about, a true miracle, a true deliverance, a wonderful scenario here as the angel of the Lord came into that prison to deliver Peter. What a wonderful thing. And here it is. Peter thinks he's in a vision. But they go past the first ward. Then they go past the second ward. Then they come to the iron gate that led into the city. And that iron gate just opened up unto them of its own accord. The iron gate opened up. They went out. They passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him, it tells us. And suddenly it comes to Peter. He realizes that this isn't a vision. This isn't a dream. This isn't just something that I would hope that would happen. It's really happening. The angel of the Lord Almighty sent his angel to deliver me. And these chains that were around my hands, they're off. And the prison gates are opened. And I'm out of there. In verse 11 says, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." So what a wonderful moment. What a wonderful moment. He knows he's been set free. And verse 12 tells us, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." And remember that they were praying. They were praying without ceasing. They were continually hoping and expecting God to do something. They didn't know what. But it's so amazing. Here's human nature in action. It says in verse 13, "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel, a young girl, came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened out the gate for gladness." She was so happy to hear his voice. And maybe she couldn't really see him, but she knew his voice. But she ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And even though they've been praying, talking to the Lord continuously, hoping for God to do some wonderful work and deliver Peter, here it happened. Their faith confirmed. "But they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel." But there's Peter. He continues to knock. And finally, it appears that they went to the door and they opened the door and saw him. They were astonished. Oh, they were amazed. They were astonished. And there he was, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, and declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. But there again, we see the wonderful power of intercession. These people who are crying out to the Lord, does God hear the cries of his people? Does he know the needs of us as individuals even before we ask or think? Oh my, our mighty God does. And he has answers. He has good things for his people. And here, just this mighty deliverance that God set forth. God knows how to set his people free. You know, even in the time of the Old Covenant, the time of Esther, the Jews in that book are in a predicament too, because their enemy, Haman, hated a certain Jew named Mordecai, and Mordecai would not bow or revere Haman, and Haman despised him, therefore, and then he found out that he was a Jew, and because of this, he wanted all the Jewish people killed, and it put them in a great dilemma, because the king, Ahasuerus, went along with this and set a seal to it and made an approval of this evil plan, this plot that Haman had, that all the Jewish people would be killed on the 13th day of the 12th month. And we're familiar with the story, most likely, and we know how it unfolded, but God made a way for his people. Intercession was made. The people prayed, they fasted. When Mordecai heard of the evil plan, he let it be known to the others, and they all brought their petitions before the Lord, and they prayed, they fasted. They went before Almighty God, and God made a way. God made a way, as we know that Esther went before the king, and not knowing if she would lose her life or save it, because it was not proper for her to go before the king without permission, and he would have to put out his sepulchre before her in order for her to be spared her life. But we know that God made a way, and the king had mercy. And then Esther, God had given her a plan that she unfolded, and eventually everything turned in this wonderful story because God heard the cries of his people, and he made a way for them to escape. And everything reversed, and everything changed. And of course, Haman had even had wanted Mordecai to be hung, and of course that was completely reversed, and everything was put to naught. All his plans, and all the evil that he had connived in his heart was put to naught. But God heard the cries of his people. And if God heard the cries back then, does he not hear the cries of his people even now? Does not God hear the cries of those who cry out to him? Of course, Jesus, such a faithful God and Savior, gave us an example. He too was an intercessor, and he made intercession for the people. He made intercession for us so that we could have eternal life, so we could be spared. We were all doomed. We didn't have hope in this world. But the glorious light of the gospel shined upon us, and we were able to be delivered from this world of sin. But it is only because we have a merciful God who is really willing to come to earth and give his life as an offering for sin. Let's just go to Isaiah 53 here and read a few verses. Isaiah 53, of course, is such a wonderful prophetic chapter, just unfolding what Jesus would do on earth. But looking here at the last three verses, verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Oh my, there was a travail that came forth from Jesus. He knew he was going to come to earth to give up his life, but there was something inside that was greatly desirous. The Lord was making his soul an offering for sin. There was a seed that he was hoping to establish in this world, a godly seed that would continue the message of salvation, that would prolong the gospel, and that would satisfy our Savior. He shall see of the travail of his soul. It was going to be worth it for what he was going to restore. There was going to be a people that would come forth out of his travail, out of his sorrow, out of that heaviness. And the scripture tells us, they that weep, that go forth weeping, shall bring forth precious seed. If you go forth sowing and weeping, that you should come forth and bring forth precious seed. And our Lord Jesus was an example doing that for us. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And verse 12, "Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. But because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Oh my, we had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that of us that could have escaped, except that there was one that went forth to bear our sins, willing to be numbered with the transgressors, taking upon him sins that he had no right to bear. They were not his sins. Death could not have killed the Lord Jesus except that he took his sins upon us. And he was bearing our iniquities. He was bearing our sins. And he was making intercession for us sinners, the transgressors. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. He unfolded a mighty plan, a new covenant that would redeem us from sin and restore that fellowship that we needed with God Almighty. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's look at Luke 22. And here's the Lord Jesus speaking to Simon Peter. If you look at verse 31 here, Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But verse 32, contrast that. Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Oh, what a beautiful thing. It made a difference. There was one that had a plan for Simon Peter. It was Satan. Satan wanted Peter. He was determined to have Peter. He wanted to have him, sift him as wheat, just use him and you know, let him do whatever. And of course, Simon didn't have that strength in himself, but there was one that prayed for him. There was one that prayed for him. It was the Lord Jesus. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Oh my, it could have been pretty close there for Peter. And he said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord Jesus prayed for him, and what a difference it made. Let's also now go to John, the 17th chapter. It was with great anguish of soul that the Lord bore that cup for us there in Gethsemane. But he prayed for us. He prayed for those that the Lord had given him. Just look at some of the portion of scripture here in John, the 17th chapter. Look at verse 8. Jesus is praying in this chapter. And it reads, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, talking about those that listened, that those that had ears to hear. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Those that had ears to hear recognized Jesus as a Savior, as a Messiah. They knew that he was he that should come. They knew that he was the Lord, that he was God Almighty wrapped in flesh. They recognized him, those few people. And verse 9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. How precious. He's praying for his people here and praying that they would all be one in him, that they would have that unity together, that they would be his children. And then in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. That joy that he would see his seed and be satisfied. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I think that verse is so interesting. The Lord isn't praying that they would be taken out in like a secret rapture or something and mysteriously disappear out of the world, but he prayed that God would keep them from the evil because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And it goes on in verse 20, not only was he praying for those that had received him while he was on earth, it says in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Oh, praise the Lord. There's the Lord Jesus there at the end of his ministry there before the crucifixion, praying for his people, and not only for those that had heard him and received what he had given them, but those that would follow. In other words, he was praying for us. I firmly believe he saw us there. He saw us and he understood that one day we would come into this world. And just as he had prayed for Simon Peter, that he would be strengthened, that his faith would fail not, he prayed for us too. He prayed for us. What a beautiful thing. There he is, there realizing what was to come upon him and the suffering that he, as a human being, because he had flesh, he was God, manifested in flesh, and he felt pain, and he knew suffering, and he despised the shame of the cross and all that would follow, but yet here, willing to take it upon himself. Because it would redeem us, because it would save us, and we would be spared. Oh, he was becoming our great high priest, making intercession for us that we might have hope in eternal life. Let's also go to Hebrews. We go to Hebrews 7. And of course, it tells us in these chapters here in Hebrews how the Lord Jesus became our great high priest. A priest is one who makes intercession. Under the old covenant, it was the priest that made intercession for the people. They had to offer the sacrifices. They had to bring them before the Lord and make atonement for the people's sins. But Jesus Christ did it once and for all so that we wouldn't have to come before God with sacrifices of creatures, that we would not have to offer that kind of blood upon an altar. But Jesus atoned for us. And here it tells us in verse 25 of Hebrews 7, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Or intercession for them, that work of a priest. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. They had flesh. They had infirmity. They had to deal with it. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore, continually. He would be our high priest, and he would be there to make intercession for his people. Praise the Lord to give us hope. So we have that wonderful example and that wonderful opportunities, even now, as we come before the Lord. You know, I am so thankful that we too can do that work, that we can too bring individuals, circumstances, needs before the Lord, realizing that He is that great high priest that we can bring all these things before him, and that he cares, that he understands, and that he's willing to hear. You know, Brother Tim was saying how we've been hearing the Lord answer prayer, or we've been realizing how the Lord answers prayer. And Monday evening, actually, we were praying here together. And I've been dealing with a woman in South Carolina. And for years, she's been fighting a problem in her apartment. She's poverty-stricken and she's handicapped and very low income. But there's black mold in her apartment, and she's been trying for such a long time to gain attention from the authorities so somebody would hear them and help them and perhaps condemn the building and give them another place to live, or otherwise somehow manage to fix it up some way so it's livable. And there's others that are living in this place that are suffering greatly from this mold. And nothing seemed to avail. It just seemed like an impossible situation. And this woman's finding a lot of things. She had written to our ministry and asked us for prayer. She said she'd reached out to a lot of different ministries and nobody had helped her. They said they would try to help her and listen to her, and nobody would. And thank God I've had the opportunity to work with her over the last couple months. And it so happened on Monday night, I just really felt the need to pray for her and all these circumstances and the mold issue. And it was so amazing, because the very next day I had an email from her, and she's saying, "Praise the Lord. Guess what? The city code man came back today, and he looked at my circumstances and said that he was going to get help for me, and he was going to make contact, and there'd be other contacts coming concerning this issue, and it looked like they were going to find perhaps another place for these people to live." And it was a miracle, because she had just been so hindered with this problem for such a long time, and just suddenly. But it was just amazing. The Lord put her on her heart, and we began to cry out for her. It's amazing when you pray, it's like, you know, you just don't always even know who you're going to be praying for, because you might know of certain needs, and you begin praying for that particular thing, those individuals, those circumstances, and then one thing will lead to another. And I mean, sometimes, you know, there's not such a thing as a 5-minute prayer meeting, it seems like. They could be 2 hours or maybe longer, but you know, the Lord will lay people on your heart, and you just be good praying and pouring it out to the Lord and giving it to him. And the Lord takes those prayers and he makes intercession, and it's an amazing thing. I just was so amazing. I had written her one email, I think, on Monday, and then I wrote her another one quickly, and I said, "You know, we prayed for you," and I just really felt like the Lord moved, and it was so amazing. It was the very next day. Then I got this praise the Lord from her, and she was so depressed and just so discouraged with these circumstances. And praise the Lord brought her hope. Praise the Lord, God is so good. Last week, a dear friend of ours, Sandy Borkenhagen, came by, and we'd been so concerned about Tom. He'd gone through so many things, and Brother Tim and I had gone and prayed for him when he was in the hospital. At that point, honestly, I didn't know if he was going to live. He was really very seriously ill, and I don't think anybody knew he was going to live. And the Lord put him on our hearts, and we were able to go over there and pray with him. And then Sandy came over, and she brought us a bunch of pears. And it's just an amazing thing, because Tom is so much better, so much better. There's great hope. He's on dialysis right now, but they're actually giving him hope that he may get off that, and they begin lessening the time. And the thing was, he couldn't even walk there for a while. And he was in a wheelchair, but now he's walking. And the best thing of all is his spirits, his attitude toward God has changed. He was so despondent and depressed and angry, but God has worked in his heart. And I just thank God, those are prayers that God's people have prayed. God has made a way and God has changed that man. You don't know what your prayers might do. I know Diane was telling me just recently, we'd been praying as a church for her dad. He was having great pain because of kidney stones, and all at once it seems like he must have passed that kidney stone, and he didn't want the doctors to fiddle with him and surgery and all that sort of thing. And he's not a believer either, but it seems that he's better. God has touched him, and Diane's son Shane too had a tremendous big old growth above his ear, and that was a big old concern because it looked dangerous. But you know what? Prayer changes things, and that growth is starting to shrink. The Lord hears the cries of his people. The Lord makes changes, and praise the Lord. I know just last week I was dealing with Don's mother, Marion, and I told this story last week, but Don's mom, it appeared, was dying. They didn't really have much hope for her either, and Don was so concerned. We've always hoped that she would be baptized one day in the mighty name of Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you know, here it was. It seemed like she was dying, and Don called and asked for prayer, and you know, I called the hospital and was praying with Don's mom and couldn't quite tell just what was happening. Didn't seem like there was much response. And I remember as I finished my prayer with her mother and hung up the telephone that I just felt like I needed more prayer. And I went into the other room there at my house and began to cry out to the Lord. And I prayed in tongues and asked the Lord to intervene. I didn't know what the need was. I didn't know what happened or what to think, but I just felt this pressing need. And I cried out in tongues for a period of time. And it was so amazing because the telephone rang again, and it was Dawn, and things had completely changed with her mother. It completely changed. I was able to talk to her again. And this time, Dawn's mother, Marion, was saying, "Oh, Lord, forgive me. I love you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Oh, Lord, I love you." And it was such a contrast and such a change. She hadn't even been able to think before that. And they thought she was as good as dead. But the Lord hears and answers prayer. Oh, the Lord made a way that we could intercede for people. We could do that part of a priest. We could make intercession. We could come before the throne of Almighty God to obtain mercy, to cry out on the behalf of others. I know just a month ago or so, I my hand was all swelled. It was red. It was hot. I had acute cellulitis from what I was told, and didn't quite know just how the Lord would answer that, but praise the Lord, I know request was made for prayer, and the Lord healed my hand. The Lord healed my hand, and I want to thank everybody who prayed, because God has great mercy. My hand, you can't even tell it now. It's probably better than it was before that. And the soreness and then that finger is gone. And I'd really thank God because he makes a way. He made a way that we could come before that throne of grace and mercy and lay our trouble before the Lord, and that he would hear and answer. You know, years ago, we've heard this story before. This dear woman back in Clintonville, this Sister Hart, she was called, and there's good stories about her. She was quite elderly at this point, but God had mightily saved her, and he had used her, and she used to sit on her porch, And there was a young man that walked by her house daily, I suppose, and he's often dressed in black, and I don't even know, except that the Lord somehow put it on her heart to pray for him. And of course, that was David Meyer that I'm speaking of when he was back in the occult and an astrologer and just doing horoscopes and trying to be a witch and all of those crazy things. But this woman, somehow the Lord put him on her heart, and she would ask, "Who is that boy?" And some would tell her, and she would pray for him. And then one day he showed up in church in the little yellow building there in Clintonville, and there he was, and the Lord reached out and saved him. I don't know what would have happened if she went to prayed, but God put him on her heart. And what a difference it made. You know, maybe somebody else would have prayed for him if it wouldn't have been her. But what a wonderful privilege we have to come before the throne of God, that wonderful throne of grace and mercy. Oh, to find mercy in the time of need. Oh, to find that grace that we need of the Lord. But also that we can make our requests known unto the Lord, that we can make intercession for those that the Lord puts on our heart. What a difference it makes. We could do this as individuals. We have a challenge. We're living in the end times. We don't know what tomorrow holds by any means. You know, like I said at the beginning, things could drastically change. We could wake up to a different world one of these days. But our help is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. And He's given us that ability to cry out to Him. And we can make intercession. Oh my, it can make a difference. Oh my, kingdoms have been subdued through faith. It can make a big difference when we cry out to the Lord on the behalf of individuals, those that God puts on our heart. Maybe our own life, our own existence, who knows? But we can go before a God who cares, the one who interceded for us, who made intercession for us, who cried out for us, who prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane that we might be saved, that we might be His, that we might be His children, that we might be redeemed. He bought us with a great price, that price of His blood, that we might be His own. And I thank God. Oh, praise the Lord. There's great power in intercession. And we have that privilege as individuals, as saints of God, to go before the throne of Almighty God to make those needs known. It can make a difference in the lives of individuals. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Shirley. Yeah, amen. There's a lot of testimonies out there about people that decided to, well, decided it's by the grace of God that the Lord drew them, that had faith to believe and trust Him, and to go before God in a wicked world and believe and trust God for the best, for the outcome of their own lives. I know that in many of these countries, and I'll bring up China again, I guess, as another testimony. Oftentimes, and it still happens today, that they'll get up at 4:30 in the morning, and they'll go before, find an old deserted place somewhere. They'll get up at 4:30 in the morning, and they will go before God and praise and worship Him for a couple hours every day, just to praise and worship and pray. That's dedication. And, you know, there's another, what they also do is they'll have a preacher that might preach, and they'll ask, is it possible that preacher could preach from 8 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning till 7 p.m. This place is all packed out, full of believers, shoulder to shoulder, and realizing that they didn't have no Bible.
Wow.
But yet they would come before God. There might have been maybe the only person that had the Bible was the one preaching. And he would preach 8:30 in the morning till 7 p.m. Not one day, but two, three, 4 days in a row. And these are people that are hungry for God. And they're not afraid. And they're pushed over the sides of a home from off roofs. Some are crippled, but the Lord heals them.
Praise the Lord.
Because of prayer, getting together before God, because of faith, believing God. These are great testimonies that are coming from the Orient and all over the world, and that are continuing to happen today. Not yesterday, but today.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
And I just find it interesting when I do my research and I look into these things and I find these things out. And it builds my faith when I find out about them.
Praise the Lord.
So let's just sing a real quick chorus tonight, Have Faith in God, number 39 in the chorus. If you don't want to follow along in the chorus, it's real easy. It's real easy to pick up. Just two verses to remember. Have faith in God, number 39.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, for deliverance hath faith in God. Oh, have faith in God.
One more time.
Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, for deliverance hath faith in God.
Amen. And be dismissed unto prayer. Amen. Praise God.